Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Leroy is off today, a couple days. He actually said he might pop on tomorrow. We'll see. It is game day. Brian Monroe is going to join us later on this hour. We'll talk some Canes with him as the Miami Hurricanes getting set. We are on GM watch. Miami Dolphins are in the midst of their general manager interviews to try and figure out who's going to run this clown show. Whose chance is it now to run the Dolphins and try and get their first playoff win, and what'll go on to 26 years for the Finns. And everybody's excited and got the gooses yesterday because John Harbaugh got let go by the Ravens, and so he's kind of the first sexy name that's out there. I kind of see if this doesn't seem like this Tomlin stuff's going anywhere, though, so I guess it depends if they beat – who they got? They got Houston, right? They got Houston on, I think, Monday night is their game. So we'll see on that. And we'll get to our headlines here this hour, which are brought to you by Doral Kia. You always pay less with your Pricito at Doral Kia. Visit us at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com. The Heat, they got smoked by the Timberwolves, 122-94. I talked in the first hour about how much Bam stunk yesterday. So if you don't think that I talked about that, I did. I want to get to the Tyler Hero thing here because Tyler didn't play bad yesterday. But it does just happen to be whenever he does come back that they don't score. I don't know what that is. I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying that just is what it is. Now, the interesting thing that we said going into yesterday's game was that Hero, was he going to start or was he going to come off the bench? And you're such a bastard, Schmeathan. Didn't see any Ant hobnobbing yesterday, did we, Chunks? Jesus, dude. No. He was getting interviewed. He was in the winner's circle with NBC. Bam wasn't allowed to hobnob with him. I think he wanted to. It looked like he wanted to. They kind of did like a, all right. Perhaps that was my fault, though. Maybe I started up. Maybe me giving too much attention to the last time, they didn't feel like they could be inconspicuous.
I think you're reaching.
What do you mean?
I could tell that he really wanted to hobnob.
Oh, he wanted to hobnob. Certainly didn't want to score baskets yesterday. Bam looked in a hobnobbing mood, not a buckets mood. Ridiculous. But Tyler yesterday came off the bench. And look, dude, I don't know what to do with this, but I'm going to play first Eric Spoelstra, who, look, I understand he's pissed. They played terrible. He started off his press conference basically being like, we had no fight. We didn't, you know, give any effort into it like we should have. And I was like, all right. So he, you know, he obviously wasn't pleased, but he was asked a completely fair question by Ira Winderman about the Tyler Hero coming off the bench thing, and this is what Spo's response to it all was.
Play Tyler off the bench, was that a minutes thing, or was that just
that's just a decision.
And your thoughts going
forward? I'm not going to get into any of that right now.
His 29 minutes today, is that about what you were looking at coming in, or was that roughly a turn? And his thought with that second unit, what did you think that looked like with him out
there? Yeah, for stretches, I thought the unit looked good, and then there was other stretches where the unit was getting beat by Minnesota, so we'll work on all of it. We didn't have enough of a fight, you know, tonight.
Yeah, that's not great. Not too pleased there.
That's like, yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, it was a decision. I'm not going to get into that. Well, I mean, when? So I'm going to play Hero's post game now because it was only like 90 seconds yesterday. But there was I want to know if anybody noticed where it got a little frosty from Boy Wonder after the game yesterday. This is what he had to say after the Heat lost.
Wins, but because you've been out so long and haven't played a lot this season, it's had to be nice to be back on an NBA floor playing basketball.
That's right. It felt good to be, you know, back healthy and back on the court. Obviously, would like to have won the game, but just felt good to be healthy.
What do you feel like the progress is from here as the trip goes on, as you ramp up to the spot where you want to be?
Just keep myself healthy. Just want to be healthy. That's about it.
What was it like out there as far as, did you feel you had your wind? Did you feel you were yourself? I don't know if you want to put percentages on it, but just to sort of offer some perspective, I guess I'll ask, what percentage of Tyler Hero do you think you were?
Felt good. So, like I said, just being out there, it was my biggest, you know, thing that I wanted to feel, and that's how I feel. I felt good, so.
It's the only third game since you played off the bench since you won the Sixth Man Award. Obviously, it's a little different. What was that adjustment like?
It's cool. It's not really an adjustment, just playing basketball.
And is that something that if coach wants to keep things copacetic the way they are, you'll just move forward through? If he wants to keep things the way they were before you came back, or is it something you're pushing for?
Ask him.
And just as far as the games going forward now, is it just straight ahead, or is that something where you're going to have to sort of...
Yeah, like I said, I'm healthy, so I just want to be available and be healthy.
Awesome. Ask him, dude. Enough.
Well, he had similar answers in during shoot-around sound yesterday as well.
He did, not quite with that tone.
No, I mean, the ask the coach is still a little bit, now it's just ask him. I mean, I heard his pregame, his shoot-around sound, and I was kind of like, oh.
It's never not going to be something that bothers him. He was an all-star last year. He thinks of himself as a star. He obviously wants to get paid like a star. And now you have, you know, Norman Powell here kind of being the lead dog on this team. The problem here with Hero, where I don't think that he has as much of a leg to stand on, is he just hasn't been available. Mm-hmm. That's been the biggest issue. And it's honestly, to be honest with you, all the flaws that Tyler Hero people like to throw on at his feet, the defense, not a big time player. The biggest issue is availability. It's not even close. He's obviously a very talented player. I believe him to be a hard worker, not a nefarious bone in the body, but the availability has been an issue. And I think that the Heat were like, hey, we are playing better basketball right now. They had won 4 out of 5. We're going to keep this rolling. And we didn't have Jaime. Because I don't even know when Jaime comes back. I don't even know if that's the best thing to have Hero still on the bench. Maybe it is to rock and put Davion back on the bench. I don't know what the answer is. I don't foresee a healthy Tyler Hero. I don't know if he'll be on the bench the entire time. But I totally thought that was the way they were going to go with him first coming back. But it's bothered him since he was the Sixth Man of the Year. He didn't want to be the Sixth Man of the Year when he was the best guy at doing it in the league. And I honestly thought it came to a good start because the ball was popping. He hit a three right away. Him and Davion found him in the corner. But the only thing with him yesterday, because Tyler probably had one of the better game scores, the only damn person who could put it in the basket besides Norm, was it was another one of those weird games. He didn't want to shoot threes. Like there was a couple times where I thought the ball got to him, and you just like him to rise up and just take the shot because he's one of the best 3-point shooters on the team, and he wouldn't do it. But I don't know. You know, it does make you wonder. Like, does this feel like we're getting to a point where this run is going to come to an end?
I think it has to, and I think you have to do it before the season's over.
Right.
Because if you get into free agency, then you get nothing for him.
Yeah, and for the people in the chat who are like, you're letting Bam off the hook. I literally spent my entire first segment calling him garbage today. Like, he was terrible in the game. Rudy Gobert stuffed him in a locker, put a beret on him, and stuffed a croissant in his mouth. It was terrible. He was terrible. I don't really have anything to, like, but he stunk now for, you know, a very handful of games. I'm talking about this because it's not really, Tyler played okay yesterday. I'm not blaming Tyler as to why they lost. He certainly was far from the biggest issue yesterday. Not even close. Does it coincide with him coming back? I mean, it does. But it's not, I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying that just happens to be how it's lined up every time he's come back. But I am wondering about the Heat and Tyler Hero's relationship because, you know, I don't think Spo's sitting here hand-holding. I think he's just like, we're rolling. I'm gonna do it how I want to do it. And feelings be damned.
Yeah.
And that's that right now. Like, he hasn't been available enough for me to feel like he did it the last time. When he came back, he put him out there, put him back in the starting lineup. he might be back in the starting lineup this next game. Maybe they have a practice today and they feel like it goes better and he'll be in the back in the starting lineup. And maybe I'm reading too much into it because they had a bad loss. They got embarrassed and everybody was pissed.
No, I don't think you are. I think the from the game before, from Monday, I mean from Sunday, with him being available, being dressed out and sitting on the bench, and even, you know, Spo's smugness in those questions and answers, plus added on to, I still think that on shoot around sound, like I said, there was still some frogginess there from Tyler Hero.
Frostiness
is what I meant to say, yes.
He was feeling froggy.
He was feeling
better.
I know it would be. There was frostiness from Tyler Hero there too, so I feel like there is an issue, and now you have to have the question of, have you seen enough of this Heat team with Tyler Hero, and is it time to, you know, move on?
Well, I think that's a fair question with everything. You know, like, I don't think that's just even a Tyler question, to be honest with you. Like, I know they're not going to trade Bam, and for the people who get at Bam and criticize Bam,
he's not going anywhere.
I'm not saying that he's above that. When you're the max guy and you're going to make, you know, $47, $54, and $60 million over the next 3 years, and you're the max player on the team, you get to wear the criticism. That's why I'm not getting on Khalil Ware for yesterday. Like, Khalil Ware is a baby. He's going to have rough spurts. If you can't accept that, tough. Like, there's going to be ups and downs with him.
But I think I don't think you can. And he's not going to stay if he doesn't get his extension. I think he's made that very loud and clear by his demeanor and basically directly as well. And you can't be naive, and we can't be naive and sit here and say, like, the same temperature that Spo has for Tyler Hero is the same temperature as he has for Bam Adebayo. He does not speak ill of Bam Adebayo, even if Bam has a terrible game. It's always, oh, he does things that nobody, if you don't have a basketball mind and this is that and the third, you won't understand the value of Bam Adebayo on the court. So I don't think Bam's going anywhere. The person that is in the massive question right now is Tyler. People can be mad at Bam all they want. To me, Pat Riley nor Spo are going to get rid of him.
Crimson says, Bam is Mr. Perfect. No, there's a little bit of that. He's a little bit of the Heat teacher's pet.
He is.
Look, I do think there is. I think the reason he gets more reprieve on that is because he does all the things that Spo really values as a coach. Like, look, he's been the coach now for 18 years. He finally just got with the offense for the first time since like the big three of changing things around to finally put some juice into it. He's a defensive coach. Comes through Pat Riley, comes at the knee of Pat Riley, and the anchor for all of that is Bam Adebayo. Mm-hmm. That is what has made it tick. You're not gonna ask a guy for 5 years to go bang with people who are way too, you know, who are probably way too big for him. But on the other side of that, look, if Bam wants to be going against threes and fours and not fives anymore, then you got to start scoring like one of them. You can't sit here and be like, oh, well, I'm one of the, like, you're either one of the best big men centers or you're not. And for Tyler's standpoint, like, to be honest with you, dude, like, there's nothing to mope about right now. You have played 7 games. And is the team, like, excellent to just forget about you? No. But they're also not terrible. And like, they're trying to get on some kind of a run here. And they just can't count on your health. That's the truth of it. They've never been able to count on your health. It's a frustrating thing. But even in Jimmy's last full year, couldn't count on his health. The only year that you were healthy was the year where all the Jimmy stuff was going to hell. But when they were in the midst of not getting Dame and you were not here after the Dame rumors, hurt that year. Mm-hmm. Made it a finals run, hurt that year. Made an Eastern Conference finals run, weren't ready till game 7, and you weren't even able to play in that game. So, I mean, like, the moodiness is frustrating. But I think for the most part, the fans are just tired of these two and being plagued with the same questions all the time. We get it. And so the Heat have to decide, with this team, what are the pieces they really believe in, and what's going to get you guys back to being a real contender? This is nice. There is respect in what you guys have been doing, for sure. You've never packed it in. But you're spinning your wheels here, man. And this was my point with the Kevin Durant thing. You didn't want to go and make a balls move to add to Tyler and Bam. Why? Because I don't think you guys really believe in him either.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think as soon as you don't give Tyler the extension after last season, and you just say, okay, well, we're going to renegotiate your contract at the end of this season, that's you basically saying that no matter what he proved to you last season, it's still not good enough. And do you think, I personally think that Tyler Hero's ceiling was what we saw from him last season. So if the Heat didn't feel confident enough to give him a contract after that, what makes you think that after this season where you've played 7 games and you have this, you know, mood about you, that you're going to get that?
Ask him.
Third game since you played off the bench, since you won the Sixth Man Award, obviously it's a little different. What was that adjustment like?
It's cool. It's not really an adjustment, just playing basketball.
And is that something that if coach wants to keep things copacetic the way they are, you'll just move forward through? If he wants to keep things the way they were before you came back, or is it something you're pushing for?
Ask him.
Awesome.
For Sass.
Crazy, man. I want to get back to fun. Man, November was awesome. So much fun. And they're going to win these next 2 games, and they're going to tease me again. And they're going to be OKC. And they'll play OKC good for 2 quarters, and then they'll get thumped.
That's how the season has gone. They show you flashes of it, but ultimately,
Tyler's going to come out. He's going to hit 6 threes against the Bulls, you know, and everybody's going to be like, see? And then, you know, he'll do it, and then they'll hit 5 threes against, and Norman and him will be Splash Brothers against the terrible Pacers, and then the Thunder will be there, and they'll have an amazing first quarter, and then Chet Holmgren will, you know, dunk on Bam's head, and, you know, Lou Dort will stuff Tyler Hero in a locker, and we'll be like, ah, we'll do this whole thing again on Monday. At least the Canes will be in the national championship.
Sorry, I apologize.
We'll take a break. Back after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. As we take you up until 2, going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com. We got what they refer to in the sports game as a biggin' tomorrow. The Fiesta Bowl. Miami Hurricanes, Ole Miss. You, of course, can hear that game right here on WQAM. Countdown to kickoff starts at 3 o'clock. And you'll be able to hear this man, Brian Monroe, joining us on the program. You'll be hearing him on Countdown to Kickoff. Brian, what's going on, man? How are you?
What's up, man? I'm ready, nervous, but I'm excited, ready to get out there.
I think we're all like a little nervous slash very, very excited. Brittany can barely contain herself. She's very, very nervous for tomorrow's game. What is it the most, like, are you nervous just because of the stakes? Are you nervous about the matchup? What do you think has you feeling that way?
I'm nervous about the stakes. Talking to me or?
Go ahead, Brittany. You can tell us what you're nervous about.
Sorry. That was so embarrassing. You go ahead.
Now, Brittany, let's hear it. I would say generally as an alum, you get nervous before any game because you really can't do anything about it. But you look at the stakes of this game is that you're talking about one more road win and you're back home to play for your sixth national championship. That has to get you the most nervous because, I mean, who doesn't want to win it at the crib?
Is there what is the thing about Ole Miss that, like, you concerns you the most? Is it the QB? Is it just the speed of their offense? What do you think, in comparison to what the Canes have gone up against already?
I'd probably say the high-tempo offense and also, obviously, Trinidad Chambliss is playing at a high level. I think he had damn near a perfect game last game, throwing for 362, two touchdowns, and just improvising with his feet. And then you got Kewon Lacy, who is an absolute stud and a beast of a running back. But I think the thing that makes you more comfortable with our defense is that we've been battle-tested when it came to dual-threat quarterbacks. Obviously, we face Texas A&M in the first game, even though there was a lot of wind. That was one of the best dual-threat quarterbacks in the SEC. You go up against Ohio State, who has one of the best offenses in the country. They're battle-tested, and I think the big thing that people are overlooking is that Ole Miss's first two games were people that already played before, that they already knew what could potentially happen. This is going to be a new week for a team that haven't played the game plan with, I don't know what, six coaches, four coaches gone, whatever, you know, Lane's stealing from them.
It's crazy. The whole like, what do you make of all this? This is like a wild thing to see the Wild West of college sports these days. Like, do you like this, or... I think there's a lot of fun in it because, you know, new is always fun. Change is fun for fan bases. But I think it's crazy that these timelines match up like this.
Yeah, I think the timeline's screwing the teams that are in the college football playoff, right? Because, like, you're not benefiting because you can't go recruit a lot of the guys that are in the transfer portal. And we see that, you know, Miami has, I think, brought in two guys already and that's it. And we haven't anybody signed. But, you know, Indiana is crushing it right now, and a couple of their teams are crushing it. So I think the timeline needs to change when it comes to the transfer portal.
Have you seen today any of the stuff circulating Twitter of Mario Cristobal getting his gift basket from the mayor of Tempe?
I did not. Oh. I've been all over the place with work and trying to get ready, but
we're going to delight you right now because look how little time Mario Cristobal has for this gift basket. Because he is so locked in right now. For those who haven't, I mean, he's getting this gift basket from the mayor, and Ole Miss's coach seems delighted. And Mario Cristobal looks like he could not care any less about these gifts. He is all locked in.
Well, you know, it's Mario. It's a business trip. It's 1-0. Like, this isn't the prize. The prize isn't to win the Fiesta Bowl. The prize is to get to number six. And, you know, Mario said it when he first came in 4 years ago that the U is not where it needs to be, and I'm going to do everything I can to get it back. And here we are in year four, and we're in a semifinal, so we're in the right direction.
How impressed have you been with this defense? We were talking about Corey Heatherman earlier in the show today, and just he looks like a maniac because he just doesn't change. Like, he's always intense. But what they've done, I think, is incredible just from year to year. Like, to be where they were last year to this year, I can't believe it, Brian. Like, I don't know what to do with my hands when I'm watching these games and seeing how they get after these teams.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, probably the best hire in the offseason of any school, because if you look at where we were last year, we're getting gashed. But I think the biggest thing with Corey Heatherman that, you know, we talked about it before was he's a teacher first, right? So, and if you look at on our staff, the best, you know, assistant coach would probably be Alex Mirabal. And what was he? He was a teacher first. So he knows how to, you know, help different kids in a way that they learn and understand and process different information. I mean, listen, you know, I hang with a lot of, you know, former defensive players, and, you know, they're like, we haven't seen this team hit as violent, as swarming since we played in the early 2000s. So it's one of those things that we always say, why couldn't it be us? Why isn't our defense playing like this? Why isn't our offense explosive like this? And you know what? We have that defense that is best defense in America right now. I can't say anybody that's a better defense in America and a better tandem on the outside, and I think a better tandem in the secondary with Keontae Scott and Jacoby Thomas.
How do you think already that the legacy of this team is going to be? Just because it's a different dynamic, right? Like, you have a playoff system. It's not like it used to be. And this team really, I mean, they had to wait on all this television nonsense to find out if they would get their chance, but they got their chance and they've shined. And I do feel like there's just, it's something that all you guys seem to have a lot of pride in, that they seem like they're living up to the school in a big, big way.
Yeah, I mean, I think this class and this team is like riding the ship of what we wanted to be back in the day and always wanted to see Miami be at. But I also, you can look at the local kids, right? Because the one thing local recruits always say is, oh, well, you know, if they want a little bit more, I would stay home. But I'm going to go to Michigan that hasn't won anything in 50 years, but I'm going to go there anyway. So you can't look at a recruit now. And I mean, recruits can't look at us and say, well, you guys don't win anything. You can't be competitive. I can't be in the league. I can't get paid. Well, everything's here at the U right now, and you can stay home and put on for your city.
Do you feel like Reuben Bain is up there now with like the scariest guys who have played defense for the Canes? Because it's incredible watching him.
Absolutely. And if you look at it, right, everyone says, well, the sacks number. I'm like, well, it's not all about the sacks. Like, look how much he disrupts the game. Look about the pressures. Look at the run stopping. I mean, he was damn near to getting hold the last game when he made that tackle for loss on the outside. You know, Reuben is Reuben, and this whole, your arm length isn't, you know, big enough to make it to this and that. You know, again, he's just one of those guys that just puts his head down and works. He's not going to talk any trash until after the game, and after the game he's going to talk trash. But yeah, he's got to be put up there as one of the better defenders that has walked through the U.
You got to feel like Ole Miss has learned the lesson too. Like, I don't feel like I've seen, I know there was like one wide receiver kind of tiptoed around it, but like the last 2 weeks of guys feeling too froggy going against the Canes, they've had to have learned their lesson that it's just a bad idea to mess with these guys.
I mean, if you look at the defense, what are you, back-to-back five? I mean, seven sacks, then five sacks, seven tackles for a loss. I mean, picks after picks, fumble recoveries, disruptive big hits. If you want to talk, go ahead, because our guys aren't going to talk. They're going to do it on the field, and again, they're going to come with ill intention. They're going to take your head off, and they're going to do it in a clean way, but you saw Carnell Tate in the second half with the alligator arms, and I've seen this Ole Miss team a couple times in the second half. You hit them a couple times, those arms are going to get short.
I was so impressed this last game, that last drive, Chamar Brown being able to come through. Dude, like he was cold the entire game, and for him to come through like that, what was your reaction when you saw that from him?
I mean, listen, he did it in a big time area, you know, earlier in the year. Obviously, we got the hot hand with Fletcher later in the year. But, you know, it's Chris Ball always said, like, there's going to be talent upon talent. But when your numbers call, you got to produce and you always got to be ready. You know, he embodies what Coach Cristobal instills with these guys. My number was called. I'm going to produce. And you saw how Fletcher responded. Like, he's happy for his brother. Like, if he's successful, we're all successful. And the biggest goal right now is to win this game, go 1-0, and come back to Hard Rock.
I think Fletcher's like, he's just got such great stuff about him. Because, like, even going back to the A&M game, going right to Malachi Toney when he has the mess up and then just like carrying it on his shoulders and then getting the opportunity. I think that's like some of the coolest things when you watch a team grow through big moments, to see that type of stuff between players. Like, what do those moments mean when you see guys just pick each other up when there are down moments?
That's how you know they're a great team, right? We've had too many coach-led teams, and we all know when it comes to great teams, you have to be player-led teams, meaning the coach doesn't have to say anything to you. We got this. We make a mistake, I got his back. I'm going to pick him up. We're going to trust him again, and we're going to go out and get the W. And that's what you saw. You saw Fletcher go over there, and he said the same thing to about him in high school. Like, listen, we wouldn't be here in this position if it wasn't for you in the regular season. We're going to come back to you. We got you. And again, all these guys trust each other. I haven't seen a closer team like this in forever at the U.
Do you think this is this matchup in particular, do you feel like Malachi Toney has a chance to make more explosive plays? Because they've gone up against some pretty good defenses. It's probably a little step down. They're going to have to keep up a little bit against Ole Miss, you would think, right?
Well, what do you think Ole Miss is going to try to take away from this team, right? I think yeah. They're going to stack the box to try to take away the run, because we've dominated that. And if you give this team soft coverage or one-on-one out on the outside press, you know, Carson's going to trust his guys. And if you're going to leave one-on-one with Malachi in the middle, I'll take that matchup all day long.
Have you been impressed with Carson? Because, like, he came in kind of polarizing. He's gone through his times with the turnovers and whatnot. But, man, I thought, like, the idea that not only the big throws, but the runs, I thought they just showed a lot from him.
Carson's perfect for the offense, right? Everyone's like, oh, he's not putting up 300 yards. I said, you don't need to put up 300 yards. You need to limit the possession, get the high explosive offense off the field. He made key decisions and great throws on every point that you needed. He didn't put the ball in harm's way, and that's how you win games. People that say, oh, I need this quarterback for throw for 300 yards. Why? The team you're about to play has one of the most explosive, fastest offense in America. What you need to do is sit them on the sideline. That means run the ball, take time off the clock, and that's exactly what we did in that five-minute drill to end the game.
So, Brittany, what are you nervous about?
I don't even have words anymore. I've embarrassed myself far too much already. Thank you.
She literally came in today, Brian. She's like, I'm so nervous about this. She won't let me even fantasize about next week. No. She's like, you're going to jinx it. I'm like, all right, I won't talk about it anymore, about the idea of where they're at. But this is so fun. Like, I can't imagine. Yeah. And just to see, to get to see the city celebrate a team, like, you know how much this area cares about football. The damn professional team ain't doing a thing for it. So to see that you have a game like this, I just think it's special for this area.
And I think one of the most impressive things is at the game last week, obviously Ohio State travels extremely well with their fans, but we filled up our sideline to the T, top to bottom. It was slammed. And I gave praise to all the fans out there because they traveled, and they traveled loud, and they traveled. And I think the same thing when it comes to Fiesta Bowl. I think we're going to show up in that one too as well. And I just think it's going to be a Rutgers crowd, and we're going to, hold our own when it comes to the fans.
Before we get you out of here, how much are you enjoying Michael Irvin on the sidelines?
I mean, come on, Mike's the best. Mike's Mike, right? I mean, I think, when it comes to looking from the outside in, if you're a fan or a former player from a different team, it's a joke to you, but you wish and you prayed that your Hall of Fame alumni had that much enthusiasm for your team and showed up for those kids anytime they needed, whether it's have a speech, come to practice, give pointers. People wish that they had the alumni and the fraternity base that we have at University of Miami.
Oh, I mean, seeing his reaction to like NIT games, and now he gets to do it with like the highest of stakes. He's probably been dying for moments like this to embrace it. Like, that's the thing that's cool about it.
Let's just say this. We're flying out tomorrow. We have two Hall of Famers on our plane, and we have another three first-round picks. So just know that we are going to be coming locked and loaded, and this is what the football fraternity at the U does.
Brian, appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Brittany, don't get too nervous over there. Have a drink.
I'll be working, so I can't. But
afterwards. Celebratory. She won't let me jinx it. Thank you, Brian. Take care, man.
Take it easy, guys.
All right. Well, we got tomorrow. We got Canes and Ole Miss, the Fiesta Bowl. And Brian Moreau, of course, you could hear him on WKM. Always does a great job as we get you ready for all your coverage starting at 3 tomorrow. 7:30 tip from Tempe getting you ready. What are you like? Are you okay?
No.
Why?
I'm going to cry myself to sleep tonight, Tobin.
She's mortified, Tobin.
Mortified. I'm never going to speak again.
You
made
not...
her feel like you were talking to her.
You not. Did. You did. Like, I honestly wouldn't even think to even say anything. Said Brady. It's not your fault. It's my fault. I should know better. But that was.
I would be happy to hear what makes you nervous. I don't want you to not feel like you can speak on the show. You can absolutely say what makes you nervous. And I'm sure Brian was genuine when he said he wanted to hear what made you nervous as well. I'm sure he will. I think he will. He will, relate to that.
Yeah, all my thoughts left my brain. I have no thoughts. I need to recuperate.
It's completely understandable. Listen, it's been a crazy time. This is going to be a high stakes moment tomorrow. You're not going to know what to do with yourself.
Yeah.
And so it's probably good that you have some kind of a distraction like Heat Bulls.
Yeah, you get, but the thing is, you get me talking about the Hurricanes, and you're just like, I just like see red, I'm like a bull.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I thought you were talking to me, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll tell you what I'm feeling.
It's going to be.
I'm not the guest.
High stakes games are crazy. Like, they're going to feel, you're going to feel like, but the weird one, it was weird because I felt more nervous against the Texas A&M game than I did Ohio State. Now, I know they jumped out to the quick lead, but even into the day, I just was like, I really don't want them to blow this. And that's how I felt. When it got to Ohio State, I was like, I just want them to win this. And so I guess that's where I'm different. Like, I didn't want them to get into the dance. And everybody be laughing at them because they embarrassed. And then obviously it was a weird game because of all the turnovers and missed kicks and missed opportunities. I didn't feel that way with Ohio State. I felt like, no, this team, they're going to, I thought they were being disrespected by the odds makers, and I thought they had a really good chance. And I don't feel like they're in a spot where I'm overlooking Ole Miss. I just think I'm really confident in this team.
I think this game has me more nervous than any of them because I feel like it's gotten to a point where the last two games, it was like, okay, I'm just happy to be here and playing in such an important game. And now I feel like I've moved past that and we're at the point of like, it will be losing will be disappointing. It won't even feel good, which I know is crazy because I should be just happy that we're here at the beginning of the season, I never anticipated this. After that loss to SMU, I remember being like, the season's over and I don't even know what next season's going to look like because I don't see how anybody comes here. I don't see how anybody stays here after, you know, the efforts of the past two seasons. But this one is just like, it's like you could taste it, and that's what has me so like, ugh. I just can't. I don't have words for it. Seriously, it's insane. I have the goosies. It's like my stomach drops whenever I talk about it. I get emotional if I talk about it too much, just at the thought of it.
Goosies.
By the way, if you guys want to go to Real American Freestyle, it's coming to Amerant Bank Arena on Saturday. Colby Covington goes up against Luke Rockhold, and I'm going to give away a 4-pack of tickets right now. Let's go to caller number 4. Caller 4 to 305-567-0560. If you guys want to go to Real American Freestyle at Amerant Bank Arena this Saturday, I'm going to be boots on the ground for that one. I'm going to go. I'm taking Tommy to go watch this. Check out. I've been liking what they're doing on social media. I haven't seen one of their events yet. But you got Colby Covington, former UFC interim welterweight champion, taking on former middleweight champion Luke Rockhold in a freestyle wrestling match. And you got Yoel Romero, Bo Nickel, Armand Sarukian. All those guys are going to be participating in events as Real American Freestyle comes to Amerant Bank Arena. So if you guys want to go, caller 4 to 305-567-0560 wins the tickets. 305-567-0560. Caller 4 is going to win those. If you can't wait to win, you can purchase your tickets at amarantbankarena.com/events. But right now, caller 4 to 305-567-0560 will win a 4-pack of tickets to Real American Freestyle this Saturday. Colby Covington against Luke Rockhold. Caller 4 wins the tickets. We're back with more after this.